Hey, welcome back to 7-Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Nitchi Hodgson's The Curious History of Dating. Sophie, I have to ask, did you ever think a book about dating history would make you feel so seen?
Oh, totally. It's one of those books that makes you realize that swiping left isn't some radical invention. It's just the latest version of a game we've been playing for centuries. And honestly, it's a relief to know that our ancestors were just as confused as we are.
Right? I mean, we always imagine Victorian courtship as so proper and restrained, but Hodgson paints this picture of a chaotic, commercial frenzy. It's kind of comforting, actually.
Exactly. She starts in Georgian London, where the old system of arranged marriages is crumbling. Suddenly, you have this new middle class with money and freedom, but no rule book. So they invent these spaces like pleasure gardens and assembly rooms to just, you know, mingle and check each other out.
And that's where the first personal ads show up. People were horrified. They thought it was desperate and immoral. But they kept doing it because, well, it worked.
It's like the original dating profile. Men advertised their financial stability, women offered domestic virtue, and everyone carefully managed what they disclosed. It's all about presenting an idealized self, which sounds familiar.
Totally. And then you have Jane Austen writing about heroines who are basically expert negotiators in this new dating economy. They know their market value. It's not just about love, it's about making a good deal.
Which is a great segue into the Victorians, who turned dating into a full-blown business. The railway and the penny post made communication faster. Then there's the calling card, which was like a social currency. And the etiquette of the call was this high-stakes game.
And don't forget the professional matchmakers. They were like the algorithms of their day, using local knowledge to pair people up. Some were respected, others were shady, but they all profited from the hope of love.
Exactly. And the date itself became a public consumption event. Taking someone to a restaurant or a theater wasn't just about having fun. It was a performance where a man's spending power directly signaled his desirability.
So by the 20th century, dating is a recognized ritual. The automobile gives couples privacy, the cinema sets the template, and then come the dating manuals. They're full of advice on how to close the deal or play hard to get. It's psychological warfare.
And then the sexual revolution shakes everything up. The pill separates sex from procreation. So dating isn't just about marriage anymore. It's about exploring intimacy. But that freedom brings its own anxiety because suddenly there's no clear endpoint.
Which leads to the singles bars and the personal ads of the 70s and 80s. People are reducing themselves to a list of attributes, which is basically a precursor to the algorithmic self. The book calls it hypercommodification.
And then the internet changes everything. It solves the problem of a limited dating pool. Suddenly, you have infinite options. But that abundance comes with choice overload. You're always thinking the next match might be better.
And the algorithms promise to predict compatibility, but Hodgson is critical of that. She says they reinforce biases and reduce the messy reality of attraction to data points. It's like they're trying to quantify the unquantifiable.
Then comes Tinder, which perfects the swipe. It gamifies dating, making it addictive, but also deeply unsatisfying. People are judged in a split second based on a photo. It encourages a disposable mentality.
But she's not just a Luddite about it. She points out that dating apps have been liberating for LGBTQ+ communities and people in remote areas. They've opened up possibilities that didn't exist before.
And that's the core of the book. It's about continuity and change. The technology shifts, but the anxieties stay the same. We're still trying to present our best selves, decode others, and handle rejection.
The part that got me was her argument that the dating industry has always been a business. From the pleasure gardens charging entry fees to the apps selling premium subscriptions, love is a commodity. It profits from our insecurities and hope.
So the swipe isn't the end of history. It's just the latest chapter in a long, curious story. The desire for love is timeless, but how we pursue it is always shaped by our time and technology.
I'm taking away that dating has never been natural. It's always been a constructed game, and knowing that makes me feel a little less crazy about the whole thing.
And if you want to explore more books like this, the whole library is on 7minutebooks.com/app. Over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language, with infographics on many. It's $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access. So remember, the next time you swipe, you're part of a tradition that's been going on for centuries. We'll see you in the next one.